The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
How many of you often reflect on the privilege it is to be loved by God? I mean, everybody's loved by God, but to know that you're loved by God. We're coming into the season of Thanksgiving, and I think one of the most huge things that you and I can be thankful for is that we know God loves us. And not only that, but we know His love. We've experienced it. We've experienced it by what He's done in our life. We've experienced it in encounters with Him, maybe. And it's all different for all of us. But the reality is we have experienced the love of God. And one of the biggest tragedies is that many people do not. And it's not that they're not loved. They don't know they're loved. And therefore, they've never experienced it, never been able to respond to it. Now, here's the deal. The way in which you and I best demonstrate our love for God is by doing what He told us to do. If you love me, tell me. No. If you love me, for Peter it was, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. For you, what is it for you? If you love me, do what I have commanded you, he said to all of us. I want to continue this week. We began last week in casting some vision. Dave, Pastor Dave, while he's gone, by the way, if you're visiting or don't know, Pastor Dave is in Thailand. We'll be back next week. And he's been gone over or close to 3 weeks and ready to come home. I know that feeling. And it's not that it's not good where you are, but it's like the grace begins to lift. And it's good. I want to give you a little clue to walking with God. Always pay attention to where the grace is and follow it. It is one of the secrets of walking with God is knowing what your grace to do. And when the grace begins to lift, recognize that a shift or change is coming. I just threw that in there. Don't know why, but the reality is if the horse is dead, dismount. Just simple bits of wisdom from Bob. And when the grace begins to lift, pay close attention. That has nothing to do with anything and everything to do with everything. But I want to continue this week to cast vision for the future. And you remember last week we talked about the need for an empowerment, the power of the Holy Spirit. And even if you, like me, like us, have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we need yet more baptism, we need yet more immersion, we need yet more empowerment to be effective in doing just what that song was about, letting others know of the love of God and releasing the love of God to others and bringing others into the family of God. When we talk about vision, and when we talk about vision for Living Waters, the vision for Living Waters is not so much about church leadership as it is you. The vision for Living Waters is not so much about Living Waters Church, the building, as it is you, the people. And it's not so much about what takes place here. It's more about what takes place out there. That is our whole vision. To see people empowered and mobilized to take the gospel wherever they live. So I want you to take out this card that's in your bulletin. It's got Bless Minnesota on it. And I'm going to preach the gospel. Don't get nervous. but I'm going to preach the gospel around this. This is something that we as leaders in the city have been implementing and purposing to implement, and it is an effort to see every street adopted in prayer in the state of Minnesota. And it's a big undertaking, and it's taking, we've been at it about a year, and we are gaining some ground on it. I want to cover some of the mechanics of it, so then I can just be free to get out of my head and into my heart and preach. You can go online, and the address is there, and you can go into a map, and you can adapt your street and immediately see your red dot or whatever come up, that you have adopted that area. You can take a look at the map of Minnesota, or you can enlarge it so that you can just see the metro area, and you can see how many in the metro Minnesota area. There's over 500, churches involved in one way or another, and it's increasing. And it is a way in which we can bless our state. I want you to know that you're not joining anything other than a willingness to pray for Minnesota and for your particular sphere of influence. You won't receive emails, you won't receive solicitations, and you, your list, your name will not be sold. We are connected with Ed Savoso and that whole thing, but this has got its own unique Minnesota site, and we're just using their site, but it will be very protected and very secure. And I want to challenge you to do this. And not just because it is a program. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. This is the account where Jesus sends out the 70, some translations say 72, some say 72 by 2, some say 72. Doesn't really matter, he sent out a bunch. Verse 1, chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. This is Jesus sending out his 70 into every city where he was about to go. And it is a model, we believe, for reaching a community that we have been involved in now for over 15 years as various churches. By the way, we had a ministerial meeting on Wednesday of this week, and several churches in the community are doing this. And we agreed together that we wanted to do something in the city in unity. And what I am so pumped about is there are many churches who haven't been involved in city reaching in a unified way before and now are. And so it is awesome. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. It is an answer to prayer, but the reality is it is around the simplicity of what we just read in Luke 10. I want you to notice, first, one, some of the instructions, and I'm going to just, I want to highlight these four things, these four steps, if you want to say it that way, because we just read them out of the gospel. And the first one is speak peace and blessing in the name of Jesus. You and I, as believers, need to come to an understanding of how powerful it is when we speak. Particularly when we speak things not in our name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that we have a tremendous authority to step into any situation and speak peace and see the atmosphere change. We need to know that. We represent the Prince of Peace. And we tend to think, well, but nothing. We are carriers of a gospel, and it's called the gospel of peace. And it has a power and an authority all its own, but it needs somebody who will speak it, who will declare it. And to simply say those words, peace, when it's backed up by the Prince of Peace, and you have the authority to speak on his behalf, you are ambassadors for him, you are ministers of reconciliation. If you do not have the authority to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, could I ask you a question? Who does? And I want to suggest that one of the things that needs to happen in our own hearts and our own minds is that we are far more significant in our sphere of influence than we realize we are. And it's not because you might be the most popular person. It might not be because you're the best at whatever or the best whatever, whatever, whatever. It's because you are a child of God and you do not live for yourself alone, but you live for Him. And you have been bought with a price, and you are His. You and I need to know that when we say stuff, if we say it from a posture of faith and recognition, that it is in the name of, the name that is every above every other name. Think about that. There is a name that has been given among men, not given by man, but given by God, but is a name among men that is a name that is above every other name on the earth, below the earth, and above the earth. Amen. And when we carry ourselves in a mindset and a posture of recognizing we are ambassadors for Him and we are carriers of His message, we are His diplomats, we are His ambassadors, and we declare something, there is a oomph behind what we say. We need to know that. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't believe it, and I sense that some of you don't because you're looking at me kind of funny, I want you to know that you do. You have that authority. Well, you do too. And we need to know that. And we need to get our minds off ourselves and our puniness, and get our minds on Him and His greatness, and just step into a plan that is unbelievable, that He plans on using us, and just live with it. He does plan on using us. And He does plan on our words having authority. As a pastor, one of the privileges, and I say that with the greatest of sincerity, one of the privileges that you have as a pastor is to be with people when they die. Marcy and I have had that on many occasions. And it is a privilege. And if you've never had that experience, that might sound a little weird to you. If you've had that experience, you know what I mean. On Friday night, we got a call and went over to Daryl Noyes' home. He was at home in bed, dying. You know, one of the marks of a believer is how you live. Another mark of a believer is how you die. And Norma and the girls were there doing an awesome job of caring for him. Just in an awesome place of faith. They knew he was close. And Marcy and I gathered around with Norma and the girls, the five of us, six of us. We joined hands and we just prayed two prayers, basically. We all prayed. Marcy prayed, I prayed, the girls prayed. And we prayed a prayer of peace to Daryl and over his body. And just over, when you're that close to death, the thing that doesn't want to give up more than anything else is the body. Spirit's ready to go. But the body. So we just prayed peace over the body, and we prayed a prayer of release. And the girls prayed a prayer of release. Norma prayed a prayer of release. And within 15 minutes, he was gone. Our words carry authority. We need to know that. There's an authority that we have to speak into situations in your spheres of influence. And this is for any sphere of influence. You can adopt, a street around where you work. You can adopt a street around where you go to school. You young people and kids that are in school, you can adopt the lockers around you in your school. You can, it's just, what do you want to pray for? What do you want to impact? What sphere do you want to have an impact in? Now, the reality is when you preach, you can sense in a room the argument. Now, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean the yeah, but what ifs. Or, and can I tell you what I'm sensing right now? I'm gonna, I am. I'm sensing, yeah, but you don't understand. But I do, and he does. See, the reality is that this, we wrestle, not all of us, but many of us, and for those of you who don't wrestle with this, pray for the rest of us. Because I understand not everyone wrestles with this. Some of you have an evangelistic gift and an evangelistic anointing, and you're sitting there saying, it's about time somebody preached this message. But for the rest of us, there is a wrestling that goes on. But I tell you, the wrestling that goes on is we feel like two things that we're going to address both today before we leave here this morning. We feel like there's two things that we lack, and we sang about it. We feel like, and I'll speak for myself, I don't have the love I should for people. And not only do I need more love, I need more power. How many can identify with that? Amen? Well, we're going to address that today because, see, I know that's a reality. And the reason I know that is a reality is because that's where I lived. So don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Don't feel like you have a corner on the market. But we do need to know, first and foremost, we have a message. Phyllis, don't hesitate to pass that around while I'm preaching. It won't, can't bother the Holy Spirit. That's family business right there. That's being the family of God. That's putting into practice some of this. But we do need to know that our words, and here's what we do, we so often forget, is that there is a backing of someone bigger than us behind what we say and what we do. And many times we get it in our head that, well, I haven't arrived at such and such a place, therefore I'm not ready yet. You may not be ready yet, but he is. And he's got your back. and he is the wind at your back. You ever seen, you know, either a cartoon or something where a little wimpy guy is going to take on a bully, and he just decides he's going to take him on, and the bully takes off running, and then the little wimp turns around to see, oh, Big Dad was standing there. Well, can I just say Big Dad is standing there? Can I just tell you that if you and I will step out and be what he has called us to be, he will back us up, and he will have our back, and he is the wind at our back, and he is the power in the message, so that when I speak peace, I don't have to be the peacemaker or the peacekeeper. I just have to be the peace speaker. And when I'm the peace speaker, the Prince of Peace is released on the scene to be and do what he does best, and he brings peace. By the way, let us not forget that the gospel is not a gospel of confrontation. It's a gospel of peace. Many of us draw back from even talking to anyone about God because we don't want confrontation. It is not a gospel of confrontation. And if you were raised like I in a setting where it was the gospel of confrontation, just get a new mindset. It is not. It is a gospel of peace. It is a gospel of love. It is, hello, good news. It is. And I realize not everyone recognizes good news when they see it. That's not what it's about. It's not about closing a deal. It's not about selling something. It's about just advertising and letting God take it from there. I'm going to pry just a little bit. Are you known as a person of peace in your spheres of influence? Just thought I'd ask. And I know that's messing with everything. But we should be known as people of peace. Why? Because we have a peace that passes all understanding. We represent the Prince of Peace. We carry a gospel of peace. All too often in our words, we carry the Old Testament instead of the New. Or I should say the Old Covenant. And there's sometimes such a harshness to the Old Covenant. Why? Because it wasn't the New Covenant. That's why it had to be done away with. Not amended, done away with. Got the axe. And the greatest evidence that the New Covenant was here and the Old Covenant was gone, guess what? In my opinion, it was the tearing of the veil in the temple, tore from the top to the bottom. Who did that? God. Why? To get out. To finally get out of the Holy of Holies, where he couldn't approach his kids. He couldn't interact with his kids because of this thing called sin. Now the thing for sin is settled by the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, it is finished, what he really, really meant is, it is finished. Amen? Amen? And that's the gospel that we carry. It is good news. We don't need to beat people up about their sin. They've got that figured out. They beat up themselves enough. And they might do beating up. They might beat themselves up with drugs, alcohol, whatever. It doesn't really matter. They might beat themselves up with good deeds. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the reality is that we have a gospel and we can speak peace. So whatever sphere of influence that you choose to adopt, I encourage you, your first and biggest assignment is just to be a peace speaker into that atmosphere.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Can I give a short testimony about that?
Sure.
Carrie and I have been doing this for a long time with the city intercessors, and I just thought I'd share real quick just to impart faith. What the Lord showed us was Joshua chapter 1. God tells Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet will walk, the land is yours. And then Mark, the Lord just has shown me visions over the years just to confirm what Bob is saying. Mark chapter 5, when Jesus got out of the boat in Gadarenes, if you read that scripture, the Lord, I had a vision one time 12 years ago. The Lord showed me when he stepped out of that boat, there was a change in the land because glory had stepped on the land. And how much more do we carry? We carry that glory. As intercessors, we went in the lands many times in the city of Elk River. I'd see in this, Lord just allowed me to see things in the spirit. And maybe it's prophetic, maybe it's, you know, whatever, symbolic. But I would see darkness, and we would come and bless the land, repent for the sins, and bless, adopt the land, you might say. And I would see darkness and turn to gold in the spirit. It would turn to gold. And you probably don't know this, but Carrie and I in a group for years, when we would see an accident in an area at Elk River, and sometimes it'd be accident after accident, we would go and intercede and adopt that land. Mm. We would repent and just bless the land. Colin wrote there, I'll just give you a real couple quick, then I'll sit down and give it back to Bob. Colin wrote 33. There was an accident at the intersection of 1 years ago, and then there's someone died. I said, not on my watch. No way. You know, someone got an accident. So Carrie and I and the kids went with us. We went out. We blessed the land. That's all we did. I repented for any covenants that man has made with the enemy. Repented of sin done on the land. I said, Lord, this land's yours. And I haven't seen an accident since. Intersection at 169 and school. If you've been around Elk River, there was some terrible accidents there. A pregnant woman got killed. And this is going way, way back. We went out and adopted that intersection. We went out and blessed that intersection. I have not, now correct me, but I have not seen an accident there since. Okay? Do you get my drift? So we have, you know, we're going to do our neighborhood. I'm going to do where I work. If all the Christians in Elk River would go out and adopt their streets, we're going to have a climate change in this city.
Amen.
And just bless the land.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Ken. Ken just used a term, I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to. Climate change. Come on. Now, we're talking spiritual climate, not weather. But come on. You really can, like, change the spiritual climate. Come on, Ken. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever walked into a room, kids, you can answer this. Have you ever walked into a room where two people are disagreeing or have disagreed just recently, and have you ever felt the climate? It's like, whoa, this is not a good place to be right now. Okay, that's that right there is spiritual climate. Okay. Have you ever been in that room when the two people that are disagreeing reconcile and say, are sorry? Have you ever been one of the reconcilers? Don't raise your hand. I have. And have you ever felt the climate in the room change? That is climate change. And if you can do it in a room, you can do it in a city. And if you can do it in a city, you can do it in a state. And if you can do it in a state, you can do it in a nation. And that is a reality. But it takes voices speaking into the climate. What do you think makes the climate bad? Voices. So, curses. Like what Ed Silvoso said, a handful of blessings beats a handful of curses every time. And so we have an ability to change the climate. Verse 7. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking, as such things as they gave, as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. And in your card here, it's reach out and build relationships. Within that sphere, build relationships. You are a voice of peace. Here's my personal opinion. As you and I are a voice of peace in that sphere, whatever it is, you will attract relationships. Now it talks a little bit later, if your message of peace isn't received, then don't waste your time there. And I think there's a reality of that. But I think you will find sons of peace. You will find those who will gravitate to your message of peace. And guess what? They will, at the right time, respond to the gospel message. Reach out and build relationships with other people. Let me ask you a question. Oh, there he goes again. Do you have relationships with unbelievers? And just be honest. And I realize that if you're newly converted, you maybe need to be wise. But the reality is, once we're seasoned in God a bit, we don't need to worry about what other people's got. We got to worry about getting them what we got. Amen? And so there is a relationship building piece to this. And again, for some of us, and I can hear the 500-pound gorilla enter the room.
Oh, not more relationships. Oh, God.
That's why we need love. More love, more power. By the way, if you don't have love, you don't have to whip it up. You can't create it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. You lie. No, we go to the source. We go to the source, and we're going to do that before we leave here tonight. We're going to go to the source, and we're going to ask God for more love. We ask God, and we're going to ask Him again for more power. See, the reality is, you do not really have a desire for the power till you start doing some of this stuff. And then it's like, oh, God, I need help. We don't even have the desire for the love until we begin to step out and really take seriously those around us who don't know Him. And then we realize, oh, God, I need love. And don't beat yourself up because you don't have it. And don't think that because you don't have it separates you from God. He knows you don't have it. But He's very willing to give it. And it's not your love, it's His. The passion of the compassion of Christ propels us, or compels us, the scripture says. On your little sermon outline, the watching eye. Identify and respond to visible needs in tangible ways. Recognize that those around you, if they have needs, one of the ways of being in relationship with them and stepping into a significant place in that relationship is to meet their tangible needs. Now, if they don't know Christ, they need Christ. But there's the old saying, sometimes people don't care about what we know until they know how much we care. And there is a place where we can give away God in the most simple ways. One of the reasons that we put such a heavy emphasis in this house on healing the sick is because that's what this text says. Heal the sick. If we want to get people's attention, if you're building relationships with them and they have physical needs in their body, heal the sick. Oh, wow, 1,000-pound gorilla just entered the room. So what do we do? I can't heal the sick. Right. But we can speak and call on him who does and can. There are many ways of ministering to people around us. And sometimes we just get so spiritual and so caught up in being spiritual about our ministry that we don't do the simple things. I don't know why I asked for permission to prepare you. I'm going to ask another question. As you go throughout your day, are you conscious of needs around you? Are you watchful? Are you just conscious of people? Are you conscious of the man with the limp? Are you conscious? Whatever. I know my sphere. I don't know yours. But are you conscious of people around you? And are you conscious of the fact that you may have the answer to it? And in some of the cases, they're just tangible needs. They're very simple things. But it can be very important. Verse 9, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And there's what it's all about right there. I want to encourage you that we do not preach a gospel of salvation. We preach a gospel of the kingdom. And I want to suggest to you that our goal is not just to get people saved. Our goal is not just to get them to pray a prayer. I knew an evangelist, still know him, who says, I won X number of people to the Lord. And the reality is what he really means is he just got people either in Mexico or somewhere, to pray a prayer. He doesn't know if they're going to church. He doesn't know anything about them. And I want to suggest to you, they may or may not be saved, but the tragedy is they were never brought into the kingdom. See, there is a king. You and I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. By the way, I want to suggest to you that it is going to get easier in this nation in the months and years to come to present to people another kingdom. I want to suggest to you that we are being poised. And to be honest, I don't think... Do I want to say this? Personally, I don't think it matters who would have became president of the United States. We are being poised for the kingdom that we put so much confidence in to be shaken. And it wouldn't have mattered really who the president is, because there is such a disunity that either there would have still been the shaking. And there is a shaking that is going on and will continue, but it is promised in the word, and it is to shake everything that can be shaken so that there can be a presentation of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And the stability that you and I have, we can offer to others. And by the way, that doesn't mean that we won't shake a little bit, because anything that can be shaken will be shaken. I mean, we can have a theology, well, God doesn't shake believers, but don't try to tell that to the people in China, in the Church of China, or other nations. But it is a good shaking, and it always produces in us a closer walk with God. But we need to know that the whole purpose, and this is where I really want to confront something a little bit, is we're not trying to close a deal of getting people to say a prayer. It's bigger than that. We are offering them to step out of one kingdom and into another. Now, it does involve a prayer, and it is salvation, but it's greater than salvation. It is a whole lifestyle change. See, the reality is when a person is brought to the Lord, we should know what church are they going to. He added daily to the church them that were being saved. Where are they being discipled? Where are they being schooled? Where are they learning the way of the new kingdom? And that doesn't mean that there isn't mass evangelism and all that, but even in those settings, good evangelists, even in when hundreds of thousands of souls come to the Lord, take every pain possible to see that those people are followed up on and, if possible, plugged into a local church. And even Billy Graham himself, you know, their organization, say that only about, in a crusade, only about, I think it's about 1% of those who accept Christ at a crusade are walking in a faithful kingdom way 1 year later. And there is a need for you and I to present the kingdom. Because, see, here's the deal. If you can help them understand and see that there is a whole new kingdom, then you can introduce them to the King. And there is a reality to the kingdom of God. And there is going to, I believe, be an ever-increasing disillusionment with the kingdom of man. And there is coming a time when people in general will find greater confidence in theocracy than they do in democracy. The kingdom of God is a theocratic government. Now, we need to do some business. I want to help us, and I'm in this with you, by the way, and I mean that sincerely. That's just not a preacher's thing to... Those who know me know I'm in this with you. This is a battle for me. But the first step to receiving more love and more power is a confession that we don't have it. And I'm going to open up the altar for those who would like to, and you know, we open up the altar often to receive, but we're in the process not just of blessing, but also of building. And one of the things that needs to take place to build us as a congregation into powerful lovers is a confession that we don't have the love like we ought to. Now, if this doesn't apply to you, by the way, and I'm not implying that there aren't people in this room who have a tremendous love for the lost. Awesome. Good. But for those of us who don't, and I number myself among those, I'd like you to come forward. And I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer of a confession. See, the secret or the way of changing our mind and changing the direction we're heading is to confess. It is agreeing with. To confess is to agree with. It can be positive confession. There can be, you know, confession that is confessing that things are not as they ought. But it is to agree with. And so I want to make it clear before you come forward, what are you confessing? So that you don't feel like this is a trick. This is not a trick. Here's what we're confessing. And again, I'm right there with you. I am confessing and I'm inviting you to join with me. I do not have a love for lost people like I ought to and I want to have. Number one. Number two, I don't have a power to impact lost people's lives like I ought to and I want to. If you can agree with those two confessions, I'd like you to come forward. And I'm just going to lead us in a corporate prayer where we basically say that. And then we're going to turn it over to God. This is about the vision of this house. We're casting vision for the future. We're building for the future. We're laying a foundation stone, if I could say it that way, here this morning. Just look to the Lord. Get your eyes off. In fact, I'm going to join you. Get your eyes off the person to your left or your right. But look to the Lord. And just repeat this after me. Father God.
Father God.
I come to you in honesty.
I come to you in honesty.
And I confess.
And I confess.
That I don't have a love for lost people like I'd like.
I don't have a love for lost people like I should.
I don't have a love for lost people like I should. And I ask you to forgive me, Father.
And I ask you to forgive me, Father.
I confess, Father, I do not have a power.
Father, I confess I do not have a power.
To change the lives around me.
To change the lives around me.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And
now, Father, I come to you.
Now, Father, I come to you.
And I ask you,
to give me your love
and your power,
for people.
Especially those who don't know you.
Especially those who don't know you.
That they might know the love I know.
That they might know the love I know.
That they might know the peace that I know. Father, we confess the lack of these things as simply sin.
We confess the lack of these things simply as sin.
And we thank you that Jesus died for our sin.
And we thank you that Jesus died for our sin.
So we receive your forgiveness.
So we receive your forgiveness.
And we thank you that we are launching today.
And we thank you that we are launching today.
A process.
A process.
Where you empower us.
Where you empower.
With your love,
with your love
and your power.
And your power.
And we receive it now.
And we receive it now.
Just reach up or put your hands out, however you're comfortable. Just receive. And just have a confidence that your words provoke a reaction from God and there is a divine transaction that's taking place. Just receive. Father, we receive your love. Father, we receive your power. I want to encourage us to just continue to stay in a receiving mode. By the way, I do want you to know, John and I or Ashley did not talk, but they were hearing from the Lord as it relates to this song. and even what Ashley said about people being sent. We had not talked, but that is the emphasis of this morning. He is sending us. But He doesn't send us without the equipping. I want to encourage you to continue to receive. The team is going to sing this song, More Love, More Power, and expect to receive an impartation.